And I'm going to trigger Hannah.
Free Ubers for everyone that lives out in the countryside at that price.
Anyway, we've lost chips.
A massive blanket benefit.
The cheese truck has gone past and distracted him.
It's been quite fast and furious. My fingers are tired.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Single Track podcast listeners. Welcome to another weekly podcast from Single Track World magazine. Now, I'm aware that we've actually got an awful lot of new listeners of late. So what we're going to do is we're going to go around the table, do some more detailed introductions. So starting with me, I'm Mark Alka. I'm co-founder and publisher here at Single Track magazine.
I'm Hannah Dobson. I'm the managing editor at singletrackworld.com.
I'm Amanda Wishart, the art director at Single Track World magazine and singletrackworld.com.
And I'm Chips Chippendale, and I am editor-at-large and co-founder of Single Track World, all the bits and pieces, currently coming to you from our South of France office.
We're all really united on the branding there.
Right, well, first of all, what we're going to do, now you've had the introductions, is we're going to start with our news in brief. So this is where we discuss a few of our favourite or notable stories that we've run on the website, singletrackworld.com, this week. So I'm going to kick off, first of all, with a bit of a sad story, and that is that there is a distributor in the UK, a distributor of bike parts, or if you don't know, basically the distributor's job is to take all the products that come out of factories, stick them in a big warehouse, and then provide those and to all the bike shops and dealers and websites around the UK. There's quite a few distributors. There's some that you'll have probably heard of, some that you won't. Many of you have probably heard of Madison, which is one of the, well, I think it is the largest UK distributor of cycling parts. But there are others, and one of those, a distributor called Moore Large, has actually gone into administration this week, I think it is. That's a sad story. Administration isn't technically the end, but it's highly likely that it is. So we ran a story on that, which we put into an ongoing story that we keep updating whenever these issues in the bike industry arise, called Tracking the Health of the Bike Industry in 2023. We've never really done this before in previous years, but it just seems that this year in particular, there's so much going on that we decided that we'd do one big story and just keep updating it. And this week's update is about Moore Large, and it's the press release read, the UK's largest family-owned supplier and distributor of bicycles, Moore Large & Co, filed a notice of appointment to appoint an administrator in the High Court today, and that was the 13th of March. So it's sad because it's a family-owned business. That's always kind of sad in many ways, but it's more sad for the fact that there's a whole bunch of people who work in the bike industry who are finding that they're now out of work. So like I said, sadly, this is kind of a bit of a trend this year. I mean, there's been, if you go and have a look at that story, you can see that there's updates going back, and it's only March. And there's so many updates in that story about
things. I missed
things
one.
What did you miss? And we see this story has been regularly updated by Hannah herself. So this is where Hannah comes in and tells us about this.
Yeah, I missed last week. Zwift laid off like 15% of its workforce, which I think is following their new managing director, who used to work for, I think, Amazon, coming in. So it's like a big restructuring, but it's mostly marketing jobs that seem to have gone, apparently. But yeah, I've seen quite a lot of people on LinkedIn saying goodbye to Zwift and looking for new challenges and open to work. And yeah, a lot of people from More Large as well. It's happening all over. For different reasons, I guess. Zwift will say it's a restructuring and a refocusing and that kind of thing. Whereas obviously More Large is, well, run out of cash, presumably. It's only a year since the management bought it out from the original owner.
Crikey. It's pretty sad. So anyway, keep an eye on that news story. As we update it, we'll bump it to the top of the page on the website, and you can keep abreast of all the things that are happening in the bike industry. Right, well, that was my notable story. It's a sad one to kick off with. Have we got anything more upbeat than that? Hannah, what have you got?
Hannah's never upbeat.
Mine was intended to be upbeat. Mine was intended to be upbeat. I did a big rundown of all the full suspension bikes that are available in size extra small, which took ages. I even had to email some of the distributors and say, which bikes do you bring in, which models do you bring in extra small, because it is not easy to go onto the sites and filter by extra small. So the idea was to give people the shorter end of things, a starting point for the bikes that might fit them. And a bunch of people complained that extra small didn't mean that it actually fitted you if you are small, which I know, but like, you've got to start somewhere. So there is a list on the site of extra small full suspension bikes. There's your starter for 10. I've saved you about 2 days of internet searching, because that's about how long it took me to get hold of all of those models.
Just to add to that as well, we also, for extra information, and it's not, we can't really put it all on a plate, because the points are valid that, you know, one manufacturer's extra small is not the same as somebody else's. So ultimately, the only way to really find out if it fits you is to swing your leg over it in a shop. That's ultimately the only way. But our article at least gives you a head start and points you in the right direction. And we do have an awful lot of data on all of those bikes that Hannah's listed in that story, including some calculated rider height data for the measurements of the bike. So if you actually do look at that story, do dig a bit deeper. There's a link on each of those bikes that takes you to a page that details everything that you could geekily ever imagine you'd need to know about that bike, from its reach figures, its standover heights, its rider recommended minimums and maximum heights. So, but yeah, it's a great tool to get started if you're in that market, isn't it, Hannah?
Yeah, it shows you which brands might have something for you, because there's actually quite a lot of brands that don't. They just don't.
Yeah,
make
I've got quite a short friend that was quite disheartened when trying to buy a new mountain bike, because the first five or so places she went to, she was nowhere near the size chart for their smaller one, and it just sets you off on a bad tone for bike shopping. So yeah, it is useful.
And the other thing is that the manufacturers will get in a range of sizes based on the bell curve of people's average height. And so they'll get in 60% of their bikes will be mediums and larges, and then there'll be fewer and fewer, smaller and extra small, extra large. So they may only get three extra small bikes in for the year because they don't see that many customers. So buy while you can.
And some of the brands make an extra small in one country, or they bring them into one country, but they don't bring them into another.
Okay, so that's another news story. What about Amanda? Which is your notable news story of the week from the website?
My notable news this week is that the magazine is about to go to the printers. So what date is it? When is this going to go out? Well, right now, it's the 16th of March. And the subs cutoff is the 25th of March. So there's still plenty of time to subscribe. And this, I think we say it every time. Well, we definitely do, but this is a really good looking magazine. It's been quite hard to work on because every photo needs to go on as a double page spread, but there's only so much paper. So it's been a tricky one to put together, and it's nearly done.
There's an article in there that features me in this issue.
There is, yeah, and so, you're having a good time.
I was going to say, you're smiling. Yeah. You're riding with Sani and smiling.
That's a rarity. That doesn't happen often. because his adventures tend to be disasters. But this one wasn't. It was good, but it's got a bit of a historical context as well. We know you noted there, Amanda, that we have a subscriptions cutoff of the 25th. Hannah, what does that mean? What's the cutoff about?
So we have to basically print the address labels. That's pretty much what happens. And at some point, we have to decide we're going to print the address labels. And so that's what we do on the 25th. So if you haven't got your name on the list by the 25th of March at noon, then you're too late to get a print version. If you join after that, you'll be able to get the PDF of that magazine online and all the back issues, but you won't be able to get any fancy interactive versions, digital versions, or the print version posted direct to your door. You could just go and buy it from the shop, I suppose. Our shop, web shop. Oh, to be clear, yeah. It's not in normal shops, it's in the web shop. But yeah, that's what it's about, is we have to print address labels at some point.
Chips, can you give us a little teaser about what your editorial might be about on this issue? Chips, are you there?
Frites? Frites, Chippendale?
Monsieur Frites?
I think we've lost Chips.
The cheese truck has gone past and distracted him.
I imagine the cheese truck coming. Yeah, I imagine the cheese truck being like the French equivalent of an ice cream van, and that it has like a little tune that it plays and drives down the street. Anyway, we've lost Chips from the Pyrenees. He's lost somewhere in the mountain with no internet, so we shall carry on without him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll tune back in later. We shall see. So anyway, I would say that's the news roundup in brief. I mean, there's lots of other stories that you can check out on there. I think this week in particular has been a good crop of stories.
It's been quite fast and furious. My fingers are tired.
Yeah, so do go and check out singletrackworld.com. Check out all the news stories of the week. We stick stories up there every day, so you can keep abreast of everything. And do tell us what you think in the comments. But right now, we're just going to take a brief break, and then we're going to be right back with what has caught our eye this week.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, welcome back. Right, okay. This section we call What's Caught Our Eye. And what we're talking about here is it can be anything from our website. It could be anything from the world at large. It can be, dare I say it, political. It could be anything. But we're going to kick off with Hannah, first of all. And I'm going to trigger Hannah. Hannah wrote a column, which we published today. Today is, what's the recording day today? It's Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday 16th. And I woke up this morning to a message from Hannah on my phone saying, am I allowed to post this? What was it, Hannah? What has triggered you to, at the early hours of this morning, was it?
I wrote it in the late hours of last night.
Your poor keyboard must be battered.
Yeah. Well, it started a week ago. So this morning, or today's column, is about the budget. It's my response to the government's budget, which is set against the context of last week the government slashed the funding for active travel projects. At the same time, you might have remembered that they delayed HS2, and in that same announcement, buried in the bottom of it, they said, oh, well, we're going to stop making £380 million off the active travel budget, which is what funds cycling and walking infrastructure and initiatives. So they did that last week. And then in the budget, they managed to find, or continue to find, £4.8 billion a year in frozen fuel duty. That 5p freeze on fuel that saves the average driver about £100 a year costs the government £4.8 billion a year. And then on top of that, they're going to spend some money on carbon capture schemes. £1 billion a year for the next 20 years, they're going to invest in carbon capture, which at the moment doesn't really work. The carbon capture that has happened has by and large been carbon that's captured and then used to extract more oil. So that's actually not capturing carbon and then... Yeah, the carbon then gets released anyway, yeah? So it is not saving the planet. So yeah, it just seems like the most short-sighted set of policy decisions possible. And I'm quite cross.
Yep. I think it comes across quite clearly, not only in your voice right now, but also in the actual detailed column that you've actually written. But, it was members only, that one, so make sure... If you are one of our members, you head over to the website and give that your full attention. I think Hannah demands it.
It's quite short.
It's quite short, but you can detect from it that your keyboard must be broken. But yeah, it's a good column. I think I did mention, if there's a counterpoint to it, and there's always a counterpoint to an opinion piece, no matter how justified it is that it's that saving for motorists, as much as we would like all of that money to go into funding cycling infrastructure and getting people out of cars. For some people, they can't get out of cars. There are some people who rely on their cars, and there's some people who rely on their cars who don't have a lot of money in the cost of living crisis, and they might welcome that fuel duty delay and saving. So in terms of that, in context of that, how do you answer that? How do you answer those people, Hannah?
But it's just like a massive blanket benefit that really benefits the people who drive around in gas guzzlers more than it benefits the people who can't even afford to get on their local bus. Because if you can afford a car, you're probably, you either totally depend on it and driving around in a total banger, or, you're doing all right. But... Yeah, it's a big blanket thing. There must be better ways of dealing with that. Minimum wage. How about that? How about a living wage? Oh, let's just branch off into many other decisions that the government could be making.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4.8 billion, and you've actually made the point that that's actually over 2 years, isn't it? So it's more like maybe 10 billion, because there's the saving from, because the fuel duty was frozen or reduced last year.
Yes.
And it's being reduced again for another year. So the amount of money that the Treasury is not getting is closer to about 10 billion because of this policy.
You could probably put on free Ubers for everyone that lives out in the countryside at that price.
And how much has been slashed from the sustainable transport infrastructure project?
380 million, which means that it's, I think that's right, I'll just double check that. I think it's 380 million. There's some debate about it, actually. Like, I have asked the Department for Transport on more than one occasion what they are calculating the cut to be, because they've said what they're going to spend in future, but yeah, it's all a bit sort of unclear, as you might expect. Sustrans, and let me just... I think it's like, it's some people say it's 200 million cut off, and some saying it's 380 million cut off. But it's, small potatoes compared to best part of 10 billion on fuel. And, 11 billion on arms, which is also on defence, which they've also found.
Yes. It's funny, isn't it? It as political as we get. When it comes to certain things, the government says there is no money, we have to make these savings. And then all of a sudden they conjure up a whole ton of it for different things.
Yeah. And active travel is like a really efficient thing to invest in, because it helps people be healthy as well and helps people be mentally healthy. So it keeps people out of the health system as well as it just being about carbon footprints and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's like a super efficient multi-stranded thing that helps lots of facets of life.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Let's not mention the 1% pension thing as well.
Let's not
do it. No, let's not go down there. Right, we're going to move on.
Amanda will have something that's cheerful, surely. She's all sweetness and light.
Of course she will.
It might seem like I've dropped out, but I just enjoy these opportunities to learn about politics here. I really appreciate it after my previous job, where I think everyone voted leave there, and topics of conversation outside of what we sold were things like protein powder.
Best.
I appreciate the extra learning.
What's caught your eye this week, Amanda?
It's not a positive thing. So, and I'm sad that Chips isn't here because he would have had something to say, I'm sure. So, Kristen Faulkner was disqualified from her third place in the Strada Bianchi because she was wearing a glucose monitor, which is against UCI rules. But her post says, I won't read the whole thing out, but she was disqualified for wearing a Super Sapiens glucose monitor, even though she doesn't use glucose data in competition. She never has. She provided ample evidence to the UCI. She complied with all their requests, sent them an honest, detailed explanation with evidence that no race data was ever transmitted during or after the race. And they still disqualified her, which it's road racing. So I appreciate some people may not have watched this, but I make a point of watching the women's road racing. And she was in the lead for the most part. She'd had a massive crash, which I didn't actually see because they don't give full coverage to the women. But she's got, like, her skin suit is torn to bits. She's bleeding out of various places. She must have been in agony. And she was leading the race for a long time until she got, a team of two sort of sniped it at the end. But to take it from her when she's proved that she wasn't using it to her advantage. I don't actually know how these monitors work, but I don't think it's a disposable thing. So if you use one for your training, turn it off should be enough, not actually take it off. So
are there any other reasons why she was wearing it? Is it a training aid?
Yeah, but it's, you could argue that there's the fact that she wasn't actually using it in the race, but if they see it as a training aid, then having your input and your output, so wearing a heart rate monitor and using a power sensor, that's a training aid because you can pace yourself with it. You know, like the data you can get from heart rate and power is an advantage. So I don't know at what point, like the UCI have got quite archaic rules, haven't they? I don't know.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to road riding. Seems weird. There's no advantage of having it in a race.
So the way I understand it, it would tell you if you're having a drop or a spike. So it would aid you with your fueling. But she proved that she wasn't using it. And also, like, I've got an insulin issue. It's just sort of called insulin resistance, but I get spikes and drops in it. I'm the type of person that would benefit from using one. I don't, but you don't know. So insulin is a hormone. I don't want to say it's only an issue for women, but women, athletic women and insulin is a thing that you can't just like make a rule. No, you can't monitor that.
Seems really, on the face of it, if she's actually declared everything to the UCI before the race and she's told them, and she's and then they let her race and then they've disqualified her after the race.
Well,
that does sound like typical UCI to me.
She didn't tell them beforehand. So I noticed it in the race. You could see, it's like a little patch and you could see it under a jersey. And I, when I saw it, thought, yeah, fair play. Like, if you've got any issues hormonally or, like, you know, any diet, I can't find the words because I'm still trying to learn about it, but like certain intolerances with food, or there's loads of reasons why you could want to monitor it or should be monitoring it. So I saw she had it on and I started researching them and thought, yeah, that'd be a great thing to have, a better understanding of your body and know how to respond to certain things. Like I just call it jelly legs, but it's something to do with my insulin where I can't turn the pedals anymore and my head goes and I have to just stop moving and eat something. So,
well, this
they saw it, like it, as did everyone else, and then obviously got in touch and she'd given all the proof that she wasn't using it, but they've still said, yeah, no, you're disqualified. And it just seems really...
So she wasn't using it to like regulate what she ate or anything during the race. She was using it to collect data to then be able to analyse afterwards,
no,
presumably.
She wasn't even collecting data during the race. So it says, I was under the impression I could race with my device if it didn't record any data because there's no performance advantage whatsoever. All I can think is that it's if she wears one all the time, in her mind... If it's recording no data and she's like turned it off, why take it off? I mean, yeah. It's a thing that sticks like pins into your arm, I think. So
I'm searching the internet to look at it.
I can see both sides of it. I can, but I just think if you've proved all that and.
But even if it's a live data thing, even if you could see your own levels on a screen, that, you know, if you think about the technology that goes into things like the Tour de France and the telemetry that is beamed from every rider back to their team car that's riding behind them, and they've got radio contact and they're being told all the time, it's time to eat, your performance has dropped, your cadence has done this, you've done that. You've got somebody sat in a car literally monitoring every part. They have heart rate monitors on. Everything is tracked. There seems to be a bit... Yeah, this just sounds like typical UCI. So it'd be very interesting to follow this one, Amanda. You should keep up to date on this and let us know where this leads.
I'd be interested to know why they wouldn't see this as an opportunity to maybe consider it or look into it.
Yeah.
Because
it's that knee-jerk reaction of the UCI. They go, oh no, something here, we must ban it. You're disqualified without actually.
And it's not as if she won. It's like she put up such a fight. It's so good to watch. Like, it was one of the best races, and I do generally find road racing boring and frustrating because it's just loads of cars and helicopters and danger to riders, and I hate everything about it, but I make a point of watching the women's ones because it's one extra view, so it might get them better coverage eventually.
Can I confess that I actually follow the Tour de France every year religiously and absolutely love it? Right, okay, let's move on from that.
Well, my cynical response would be, I wonder who else makes a glucose monitoring system other than Super Sapiens that the UCI is about to announce a deal with.
Yeah, I won't put that past them at all. Right. Anyway, let's move on from that. That's really interesting, actually. I'm gonna go away and start Googling myself after this, which is...
You love a bit of monitoring.
Oh, God, yeah. Anything like that. Not that I'm not going to wire myself up. My glucose levels are probably best left unknown, is how I would put it. But anyway, no, I'll tell you what's caught my eye this week. This is interesting. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think this is a bit of an existential issue here. Don't tune out. I think it's quite interesting. We here at Singletrack, I think we've got a track record of in our 22 years of kind of, I'd say, more than just acceptance of our so-called competitors, but actually, I think almost like an affection, sometimes a love of our sort of media partners or media competitors. They're not partners as such. So what I'm talking about here is other magazines and other websites. So I'm talking about MBUK. I'm talking about... American magazines, I'm talking past and present, ones that have been and gone, and sometimes it can look a little competitive between us, but I think the truth actually of the matter is that the bike industry and certainly the media industry is so small that basically we know everybody. We know everybody from all the other magazines. And when we go on trips and events, we end up meeting them and socializing with them. And a lot of them we've come to know as our friends. So that is the context behind why when we report sometimes on another magazine that's shut or another website that's gone bust, we do it with a sense of sadness. There's never any glee in it because we know the people behind it, and we often, you know, they're our friends more often than not. So anyway, in a counterpoint to that, something strange happened this week. One of the previous casualties of media closures, and it's a big one, it's Bike Mag, which is an American magazine. It's been around for pretty much longer than Single Track's been around, and we've been around for 22 years. And it closed, when did it shut down? Was it a year ago, 2 years ago? I'm not entirely...
18 months, I think, yeah.
Yeah, something like 1 to 2 years ago, it announced that it was closing. So the print disappeared. All the writers were all laid off. It was sad. Some of the writers that were writing for Bike Mag have actually written for Single Track. Mike Ferrantino is a name that some people will probably be able to remember. So it was a sad day when Bike Mag closed. Anyway, this week... it's back, which is great. That's good. You know, one of these sort of pivotal titles, these influential media magazines from the past couple of decades, when it comes to, this has never happened, actually. A title that's disappeared suddenly coming back. This is great. Except it's all a bit weird because the magazine, the print magazine certainly isn't back. The website is, and it's full of content, but I don't know, how would you describe the content that's popped up on Bike Mag this week?
It's like Lad Bible.
Holy Resurrection Batman. I'm sure there's a meme out there, isn't there, we could put into, but it's an audio podcast, so you can't do it, but imagine, Holy Resurrection Batman. How would you describe the stories that's popped up on there, Hannah?
It's like Lad Bible, isn't it? It's worse than Lad Bible because Lad Bible can be funny. It's those things that appear at the bottom of stories on local newspapers, and then if you ever click on them, they don't actually lead to anything like what appeared to be in the story. I can read you some examples.
Clickbait.
Find an example for us, Hannah. Go on.
So, TikToker shares key MTB safety tips for doing wheelies.
Imagine what that story is. It's just a TikTok embed, isn't it?
I don't even want to click. Parody of mountain bikers emerging in sprint is so spot on. Watch hiker makes rude comment to mountain biker as she passes him on trail.
That's news?
Footage of mountain biker wiping out on rocky trail is tough to watch. But it's not just Bike Mag, okay? It's the sibling publication, Powder, as well. So, skier makes admission about the cat track everyone can relate to. Man surprises skiers with a gondola bar and it's legit.
It looks to me like they're just relying on all social media platforms to fill the site with stories, big or small. Which is the Daily Mail do. They just go on Reddit, sort by controversial, and then post it.
And I've got another theory that's what's going on here as well, which is that I think there's actually probably, it's likely there are no journalists whatsoever behind this, that this is entirely AI powered. I strongly suspect that beyond a little bit of sub-editing, the vast majority, if not all, the content that's popping up on Bike and Powder now are generated by AI. It's another ChatGPT kind of deal. I've been seeing this in the publishing industry over the last 6 months, that there's a kind of an existential threat that is being discussed. Is this the end of journalism? Do we need journalists? Can we not just get AI to write all of our content for us. I mean, you've played around with it already.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, yes, maybe. I mean, the thing is, what we're talking about clickbait headlines only. That's content that's literally designed. The only purpose of any of that content is literally to come up with a headline that's going to make people go, ooh, click. And I've always had a theory of clickbait. I mean, we've actually been accused of clickbait ourselves now and again. My counter argument, my justification for that is that clickbait is only clickbait if what you read once you've clicked the headline does not deliver what the headline promises. So we did a story, and it was deliberately to test this theory. We did a story of five, I think it was about seven ways to fix a puncture, and you won't believe number three, which is absolute classic clickbait title, isn't it? Mm. But we made it so that we did seven ways to fix a puncture, and each one was a genuine different way that you could fix a puncture. And number three was pretty unbelievable. It was basically tie a knot, cut your inner tube in half and tie two knots in the ends of it and put it back in your tire and pump it up. Kind of unbelievable. So I disagree with anyone who says that was a clickbait title, because number three genuinely was pretty unbelievable. So clickbait is only clickbait if it doesn't deliver what the headline promises. But it's so those titles, I think, have been very cleverly constructed using that headlines. Certainly there's a definite whiff of AI behind those headlines. Mm. And funnily enough, Google in December actually did a bit of an update to its search to actually specifically downrate headlines and content like what is now appearing in the new resurrected Bike Mag and Powder magazines. So it's interesting. Do you feel under threat from AI written content, Hannah?
Not if that's the standard of content. I mean, there's a place for like aggregating social media stuff, but we go on social media to find it ourselves, don't we? But surely you want some sort of integrity and real appraisal of, or joining up of facts and ideas, rather than just here's someone falling off a bike.
So you don't feel that articles are going to get written by AI and you're going to be put out of a job, or you're just going to get turned into a sub-editor of AI?
Well, I hope not. Fairly soul-destroying, wouldn't it?
No. Yeah, I mean, I've been playing with it this week, and it is really, really impressive. But it's... I think single track, certainly, I mean, the relationship we have with our readers is that I think there's a tone that we put into our content that is easily detectable and easily, there's a style there that's easily found. And that style comes from I don't know what it is. It's built into the very fabric of single track and what we are, that tone of how we write. And I'm not anticipating that an AI is going to be able to come up with a sort of a way of doing it. It's a bit like what's the test for intelligence? You have a conversation. It's the Turing test. You have a conversation over a computer with something or someone, and if you as the human at one end of that conversation cannot tell that it's a computer at the other end, if you think it's a human, then surely that passes the Turing test, and that is artificially intelligent. That's the kind of like a definition. But I kind of hope, I kind of believe, and I have to believe this, I think, that if we had if we had our readers, and certainly if we aggregated their opinions and we put a piece in front of them and we said to them, did we write that? Or did a computer write this? I think that our readers would be able to tell, because I think we have a bit of a unique style that I don't think can be replicated. I hope not. Maybe I'm just being a bit naive and arrogant there. But yeah, so anyway, Bike Mag is back, but it's kind of not. And it's all a bit weird and don't understand what's going on behind that. Amanda, you're not out of this being art director, because you know that the AIs can now actually do design and create images.
Yeah. How do you think the magazine's so on time? No, I've not. I've not used it.
I used it. I've got two owls on bicycles. On a blanket, done for my wedding invite by AI. I did not draw those.
I'm offended that you didn't ask me.
You were on holiday.
It's only just occurred to me.
I used it a few weeks ago as well. We did something, I think it was a podcast actually, and I was looking for an image to illustrate the podcast. And we were talking about marketing in mountain biking and how it's bad and not really up to scratch sometimes, you know, some of the marketing ideas and concepts. And I wanted some sort of image to illustrate it. So I asked the image creator, show me mountain bikers surfing a wave in the style of the Guinness advert from the 90s. And it did. there's a kind of a picture, and it's got these mountain bikers like surfing a wave. And but you can tell it's AI because it's all kind of weird and morphed and things don't really look right.
I haven't looked.
Have you not looked at that? You should go back and check that one out. I think it's the podcast from maybe 2 weeks ago, two or 3 weeks ago. Just check it out. But yeah, I'll let AI do that. But, sorry, Amanda. Does that make you worried? Could you have done a better job of getting mountain bikers surfing a wave?
I haven't seen the picture either, but I'm going to have a look. But please know, when I'm on holiday, I've got Photoshop on my phone.
But when you're on holiday, you're on holiday.
But you're on holiday. This is my wedding, not work.
Yeah, so I'm your friend.
Yeah, I knew you'd be upset by the design of my invite.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't respond.
I think we should probably round this up. I think we've gone on enough. I mean, Hannah's just alluded there. One thing we need to say is Hannah's getting married soon. Well, when's the date, Hannah?
June
the what? Are you going to publicly tell people? Or do you think people are going to gate crash your wedding?
Well, no, they're not going to gate crash my wedding because I'm just going to the registry office.
Low key. Mm-hmm. We're having a party though, aren't we? Yes, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another single track wedding. Hey, Amanda?
We should do that as a podcast some week. The dating agency that is Single Track. We need Chips for that. We need him to sort the internets in the Pyrenees.
Can I just add?
Go on.
The other day, Rhys was doing a certain stretch to activate his glute, but basically it looked like he'd got down on one knee and I was stood near him and I just looked down and went, no, I'm not going to marry you. And he said, you would. And then it turned into quite a serious, no, I wouldn't.
And on that note, listeners, I think we're going to draw this to a close. So anyway, that's all for this week. Hopefully next time we'll be able to keep Chips in from the start right the way through to the end. But until next time, everybody, that's goodbye from me and goodbye from the rest of the team. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.